All right, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Tune Under podcast. We have got a very special episode for you tonight. Joining me all the way from Feyenoord is Rob from the Keane Gilol podcast. I probably butchered that pronunciation. But Rob, thank you very much for joining us all the way from the Netherlands. How are you doing today?
Thanks for inviting me. We are doing great. Actually, we have a cup final coming up next Sunday. And we are already second in the league. We know that for sure now. So we have a pretty good season.
Yeah, it sounds like you are on fire. It's had a little check. You're pretty much already cemented Champions League for this season, albeit mathematically. And again, the cup final coming up. That'll be absolutely fantastic. Get a bit of silverware in there. But if you don't mind, just give a little description of yourself and the podcast and how it all came around. Just give everyone in the know.
Yeah. I'm Rob. I'm one of the hosts of the Keane Gilol podcast. It's a really strange name, I think, for a lot of people who are not from Feyenoord or the Netherlands. It's Keane Gilol is an Austrian saying from a former coach of Feyenoord, Ernst Happel, who was one of the most successful coaches at Feyenoord in the 70s. We won the Europa Cup 1. In 1970, and Keane Gilol means something like don't talk, just work, something like that. So that's it. We started the podcast 8 years ago, very lucky with a few friends. It was the season where we were champions again after 18 years. So we started off right the right way, and we didn't stop until now. So we keep going.
Fantastic. Good to hear. But this episode is all about Yankuba Minter, the teenage sensation who is currently on loan from Newcastle at Feyenoord. And he is literally taking the Eredivisie by storm, or at least that's what we are led to believe here in Australia and back in the UK from all social media accounts, to be honest. But we're just going to jump in and just basically going about Minter. So he arrived in Newcastle for a fee of £7 million, which is about €8 million, from Odense in the Norwegian League, I believe it was. And he was loaned straight to yourselves over at Feyenoord. Now, from what I remember, he's never actually been to Newcastle. He never set foot in Newcastle, never touched down in Newcastle or anything. He just went straight to yourselves. That was in July of last year. And some may say he hit the ground running. But how did fans initially react to the news of his signing?
We didn't know him, to be honest, of course, as well as you didn't know him back then. So, we were quite curious what to expect. We knew he was fast, he's a winger, and he's from Newcastle, which is a big club in the Premier League. So that gives... already gives some expectations, to be honest. So it's always good to get a player from a Premier League club in the top of the league on loan. In the beginning, we were, he didn't do that well. It was not very special, but as the season goes on, so especially now, the last 2-3 months, he's spectacular.
Yeah. At what point did you realize that you could have a very good player on your hands? What was the moment that you thought everything just clicked for him?
Oh, wow. I don't think there was one moment. It grew on him a little bit and on us also. He's very busy. He always wants the ball. He keeps defenders busy. And in the beginning, he failed 9 out of 10 times to when he tried to pass a defender or give a good pass or an assist or a shot on goal. And I think it's somewhere November, December, he started to produce assists and goals as well. So his efforts also came out in numbers. And that was the moment I thought, okay, we might actually have a good deal with this boy. And now all of the fans and even our coach wants him next year as well. So hopefully he stays another year in Rotterdam.
Yeah, that has actually been talked about. And I think Mintar himself has said that he wouldn't mind going back for another season if that is the case.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what our coach Eddie Howe does with him in pre-season, whether he takes a look at him, whether he thinks he's good enough to stick around part of the first team, or we loan him back out either to yourselves or to another club in the Premiership or in and around Europe. We will see what happens on that one.
Yeah.
On his development, you said around about November, December time, he started Kirkby's home. How much do you think that is down to Arne Slot's coaching? Because from what I've been reading, he's got a very good reputation of developing young players very quickly.
Our coach?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. He's a coach. What people say about him, he makes players better, especially young players. We have a lot of, I don't know if you know any other final players now, but we have some like some midfielders who are very cheap. We bought them from the second league in Holland. One of them is Mats Wiever, with a curly buzz of hair. And we didn't expect anything from him because we paid around 200,000 or 300,000 euros for him. And now he's in the Dutch squad. He probably will go to the European Championship this summer. And he does the same with Mintate, I think. It's also a bit of both. The player itself must have a talent or something. But I think, he makes players way better.
It's fantastic to see, to be honest, because it shows that he can nurture young talent, bring them on, rather than just buying in ready-made players and try and win trophies that way, that some managers do. So it's great to see, especially when I think he was tipped to go to Spurs early last season. I think that was something that was, I don't know how close it was to actually happening, but obviously Spurs decided to go for Ange Postecoglou. But I'd imagine you're glad Arne stuck around. Obviously, you've got this cup final coming up and you sit pretty second in the league.
I didn't sleep, to be honest, when the rumours were getting heavy. We all thought, oh, he's leaving. This was it. After 2 years, we have to say goodbye. And, that's also a little bit, we're used to it because we're a Dutch league. We're not top of Europe. We are maybe the fifth or sixth country if we do well. Of course, the Premier League is the dream for every player and every coach. So when a club like Spurs come, we all think, okay, that's done. Now we're finished. Yeah. And then we woke up in the morning and I thought he had a press conference and he said, no, I will stay. And it wasn't even close, he said. So he wasn't interested. That's what his vision is. I don't know if that's really true. I think he listened to the offer. But he has a very high salary for a Dutch coach.
All right, yeah.
So the gap wasn't that big, It was. I think he earns around 3 million here, and he could earn double in at Spurs. So that's a big difference, but not life changing.
Yeah. It's good to see a manager stick around,
Yeah,
very good. Now, getting back to Mintar. Now, Eddie Howe loves a team that presses and plays with intensity from the front to the back. How does Mintar fit that mold, and is it something that comes naturally to him?
Yeah, I think the first months he had to really adjust to the high intensity of our games. As a winger at Feyenoord, you have to defend as well, so you have to cross the whole your whole wing, not only at the front. But a lot of people, a lot of players have that. They need that time to adjust a few months and then they will get it. And Minte is very energetic. And I think now he's capable of playing 90 minutes at full speed, at full intensity.
Yeah.
But that costs time. It costs a few months for him.
Yeah, well, that actually brings on to my next question, to be honest, because he's only completed a full 90 minutes twice. In 33 games.
Yeah.
Is his fitness an issue of like burning out in games early, or is it purely just squad rotation?
Yeah, I think it's the last one. I think he's able to play 90 minutes at the Dutch level. I don't know how it is in England. It's a little bit more energetic, probably. Our coach likes to change, especially in front, especially the wingers, to give new energy to the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's more it than a fitness issue.
Yeah, squad rotation's not exactly been something we've had the luxury of this season. I don't know if you've seen the injury record we've had at some point.
Yeah.
But it's, I think at the moment we've still got 11 players out, and there were 11 first-team players. Wow. At one point we had 14 first-team players out, and we had three keepers named in the matchday squad.
That's too much. So that's too much.
That's how bad it got at one point, and the Champions League just took its toll on us.
Yeah.
And too many games across a too thin of a squad.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't progress in the Champions League. But Minta, he scored in the Champions League, and he got a bit of game time in there as well. How did he perform on the bigger stage?
On the bigger stage, I think he did okay. We started off brilliant in the Champions League. Against Atletico, we lost away with 3-2, but that was one of our best games this season. We won against Celtic, and I think our best game was against Lazio Roma in Rotterdam. And it was before the winter break, so that was, in my opinion, it was another Minte. You saw his enthusiasm, but it didn't really work out every time he got the ball. So. I think he performed okay, but if he stays another season, we will play Champions League again. I think we will see the new Minte.
That'd be fantastic to see if he does go back. We're borderline pushing for European football. We might make Europa League or Europa Conference. Champions League, I think, is just out of our push, unfortunately. Spurs are Aston Villa for that fourth spot.
Yeah.
Getting on to Minta's maturity, now we've got a 17-year-old called Lewis Miley, who's playing well above his years of maturity, effectively.
Yeah.
How is Yankuba coping with that, with the pace of the game, his maturity throughout the game, staying level-headed, that sort of thing?
Yeah, he's young as well. But I think he plays as a grown-up now. So, Yeah. What he lacked a little bit of overview for the most. So when he has a ball, he just look at the ball and doesn't see other players anymore. And he still has that a little bit, but that's also surprising for a lot of defenders. You really have no clue what he's going to do. And I'm sure that defenders are a little bit afraid of him, because when he gets the ball, two defenders are up him, and that's always a good sign. They're really sharp on him, but he's doing very well. We called him a few months ago. One of my colleagues from the podcast called him the Gambian roulette table.
All right, yeah.
I think then you already know how we saw him. But yes. The roulette table turned into let's say blackjack. You have a 50% chance of winning. So
yeah, now that's, you'll take those odds all day long, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, he's only played on average 54 minutes in the Eredivisie over, I think it's 24 appearances he's made in the league. But he scored 9 goals and 4 assists, so that's 11 contributions in total. Now, an average of 54 minutes per game, for any player, that's very impressive. But for a 19-year-old, that is even better again, don't you think?
Yeah. It's really impressive. And I just had to look up those numbers before I was talking to you. So I really was surprised by it as well. When he gets the ball, I'm always very focused on him, but not especially. I'm just enjoying him, and I don't remember that much, because always when I'm watching final, I'm nervous, so I don't really always know what he does in terms of goals and assists. But yeah, 9 goals, 4 assists. It's pretty much and I think it last 2 months or so. It's really going up. So we are afraid that if he is doing too good, that we might not see him back after this season.
Well, to be honest, for how you have brought the player on from start to where he is now, Yeah. From what you've told me, his development has been skyrocketed effectively over the 6 to 8 months, I believe, you've had him there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And if he keeps going on this trajectory, he could very well hit the top level. But he's obviously impressive going forward in an attacking threat.
Yeah.
But in terms of what he needs to work on his game, in terms of positional discipline, defensive duties, what would you consider to be his weak points at the moment?
His weak points is, I think, still his lack of overview. So he doesn't really look around that good every time.
Okay.
So our striker is, I think, 4, 5, 6 times a match, he's a bit angry at Jakuba because he didn't pass the ball. So I think that's it. And I think what he can learn more is to choose the moments. Because now he always wants to do something special. And last week's it turns out really well. But it's not always like that. So I think those two things. But he
sounds a little bit like, I don't know if you're aware of Miggy Almiron, who we've got, who plays on the same side, on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
He can be at times exhilarating, but other times very, very frustrating.
Yeah.
But he's also very one-footed. He's an inverted winger, so he plays on the right but cuts in on the left.
Yeah.
And he is 99% left foot in that type of guard. In terms of Minter, how do you see him with both feet, with a ball at both feet? Is he comfortable on both sides, or is he being heavily dominated at one?
Yeah, and he wants to turn on the inside to shoot with his left or to give a pass with his left foot. But in terms of passing defenders, he is pretty comfortable with his right feet as well. But I think he's not 99%, but let's say 85% left-footed. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and again, good thing is he's only, 19 years old, so you've got plenty of time to work on that part of the game. Whereas Miggy Almiron, I think he's 28, 29, something. So I can't imagine his development's going to get on that much. But again, player who can excite you one moment but absolutely frustrate you the next. So it sounds like there's a little bit of a comparison there. But yeah, those are the type of players which you love to see on the pitch, though.
Yeah,
because they can turn a game on its head within a matter of moments, you know. It's fantastic to see.
Yeah, he's never a 6. He's always a 9 or a 3. And the last weeks, he's more a 9. So
fantastic. Getting on to his disciplinary record. So he's only picked up 2 yellow cards in 33 appearances, which again is quite good for his age, because normally young players, they can see the red mist that little bit early and maybe fly off the handles a little bit. But what did you make of the headbutt incident against PSV? And you think you should have had a red card for that?
No, of course not.
No? Okay. Is that purely because it was PSV, or you just didn't think it was a red card in general?
Purely because I didn't. I'm a Feyenoord fan, so I'm not really neutral in this one. No, I can imagine I wasn't shocked if the referee gave a red card, to be honest. But
okay. Yeah. Yeah, I watched it back a few different angles, and he does lean in with his head. It's more of a push than an actual headbutt.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, that just may be a level of maturity that he needs to bring to his game. But most players are guilty of that, and the biggest one is probably Zidane back in the World Cup on that one with Materazzi. As all the big players are capable of losing their cool at times. So you can forgive him on this one, only being 19, seeing the red mist.
Yeah.
It's good to see only the 2 yellow cards in 33 appearances.
That's okay.
Really good to see on that side.
Yeah.
And he also played in multiple positions from what I can see. He's always played on the left wing, he's played on the right wing, but also up front as a forward as well.
Yeah.
Where do you think his best and most natural position is?
Right wing. Yeah.
Yeah?
Clearly, yeah. Yeah. I think on the left he does, you know, he has the pace, so also on the left side, he can dribble past defenders and give a ball to a striker or a shot or something. And he also played, I think, a few matches, a few minutes on at striker position. That's okay, but he's a little bit too restless, I think, for that position.
Right.
So I think, right wing, absolutely.
And when he has been playing on the left, is he the type of person who wants to try and beat two or three people and then whip a crossing? Or is he just wanting to get the ball down, cross it in for the strike, and hopefully he gets his head on the end of it, you know?
No, I think he wants the same on the left side. So mm-hmm. it doesn't change that much. But I don't think it's too effective. He's not a classic winger like Brian Giggs maybe.
Years ago,
on the left side. Yeah, mm-hmm. Who has a great pass to the striker. He doesn't have that. He more has an action and come in the zone to shoot or something. So he's better at the right side.
Yeah, well, we are literally begging for a right-sided player in this coming transfer window. So he could very well be the answer to our solution. Who knows? Could very well be. But if you want him back, and Eddie lets you have him back, I can't imagine Eddie would say no, to be honest, because, again, the development that he's done for him have been top-notch. Yeah. And you wouldn't want to really disrupt that development in his game. We've got another player who is on loan in the Eredivisie. I'm not sure if you're aware of him. Garang Kuol.
Which club?
I can't remember which club he's playing for, to be honest, but it's one of the lower league clubs. But he's an Australian. He's currently on loan down in the Eredivisie, but he's not getting the game time. He's not progressing as well as we thought in terms of how Yankuba Minter is. I just wondered if you managed to see Garang play or anything at any time, even if you played against Feyenoord.
I just Googled him. He's at loan at Volendam, which is they're going to relegate to the second division. It's a famous village, by the way. A lot of singers come from that village. but I don't know what kind of player he is actually. Is he... he's a midfielder, you said?
He is, yeah. So he actually plays out on the right and can play through the middle. He's a player who was part of an Australian A-League All-Star team that took on Barcelona about 18 months or so ago. We signed him, loaned him to Scotland first for one season. Didn't really work out for him then. So he's now in the Eredivisie, and it's not working out for him there either. No. So development wise, he hasn't hit the ground running anywhere near like Minter has, which is a shame. But whether that's again down to the coach, the player, or what, but he's doing the right thing with Yankuba, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I think we also think about our young players when they can go on loan to somewhere else. what kind of club do you want them to play in? Because we now have a club in the second Dutch division who is playing very attractive attacking football.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few players on loan there who are really developing well. Okay, I know it's one level below the Eredivisie, but it's the same type of football. And this guy is playing at Volendam, who play relegation football, so they are defending to gain some points. It's really another type of football than Newcastle is used to. So I would suggest next time when he gets another chance on loan, maybe a lower league, but top of the table, than in the first league at the bottom. I think it's better to let them play at the same team which has the same vision.
Yeah.
On another level.
That actually makes perfect sense. It really does, to be honest. Hopefully good things come from Garang as well as Minter, because they could potentially be the future of our squad and the future of yours in terms of Minter. Who knows? God knows where his career could end up. But in terms of Minter, does he have the potential to go to the very top of the game? Big question.
Yeah, it's a big question. I think he has, to be honest. Yeah, he has. He has a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. You see his numbers. He's good. He's only 19. He has a lot of room for development in terms of timing and improve his overview. So yeah, he has a lot of talent. Yeah, he's one of the most fun guys to watch on the pitch nowadays. So yeah, I think he has it.
No, go on. Sorry.
No, that's it. I was done.
Yep. I actually seen footage of the Ajax game where he seemed to literally tear them a new one, and done on that 6-0 thrashing of them as well. I can't imagine Ajax liking that one too much because they're having a bit of a torrid season, sat down in six, I think they are right now.
Yeah.
I bet you're loving that as a Feyenoord fan, seeing them down there. It's just like us with Sunderland, seeing them rot in the Championship or League One. You know, we absolutely loved it when they got relegated back to back. You know, football rivalry is something that spreads across countries and continents. But yeah, the two goals and the assists in that game, you took both goals very well, I thought.
Yeah, wonderful. That was an amazing performance. And I think he also understands what it is to play against them, you know, for us fans. And he really translated that well to the pitch. I think he feels a little bit the same. He's also he came to the stadium walking. He doesn't have his driver's license. You've seen the footage, and normally he goes by bike. So he's really close to the fans also, and that's fun. That's fun. He's a fun player who seems to get what it means to us fans to play matches like this.
It's good. So he plays with a smile on his face and he's obviously interacting with his fans. I've seen the little mini mob as he was leaving there. I think it was the Ajax game. He was just walking down the street home or wherever he was heading to next. Yeah. And he was signing autographs, taking selfies, doing you know what. Yeah. But yeah, he seems to be like a little mini superstar. I'd imagine the younger fans tend to warm to him that little bit more as well, being a younger player too.
For the younger fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think we have a lot of, 15, 16-year-olds in the stadium as well. They have no difference between, they see no difference between them and Janko Baminte. Of course, that helps. That helps.
Fantastic. Absolutely. And one last question. This is probably the biggest question of all of them. Okay. If you were to compare Minte to any other player, past or present, who would that be and why?
Oh wow! I'm afraid I want to say a too big of a player to compare him with. Wow, that's a good one. I think. Ooh, how much time do I have to think about this? Okay, you cut something. No, it probably doesn't.
Next 30 seconds, let's say.
Next 30 seconds. Okay. The fact that I have to really think about it maybe says a lot also about him, because I don't have one player in top of mind now. Maybe Saka. He's another level. I know that.
Yes. Yeah.
But
if. Yeah.
From what I have
if
in mind,
if you get close to Saka's level, then we got a hell of a player on our hands.
Yeah, of course. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think he's a little bit of the always wants the ball, a lot of action. So yeah, maybe him.
Yeah. Now I would take that comparison all day long. Bukayo Saka is probably up there with one of the best top 10 young players in world football. I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, he has to be. Comparison is that good, then yeah, by all means, we'll take that all day long, especially for the fee we paid for him. Players like that don't come on the cheap, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that is one hell of a comparison. Yeah, so thank you for that one.
Yeah,
but yeah, that pretty much going to wrap up the questions right now. But if you could summarize Minte's career or his season so far at Feyenoord, how would you do that?
Okay, I would say it's like a bit of a rocket. With he started us off slow, with a lot of fire, and then after the winter break, he really developed very quickly, and he also gained popularity. Of course, it's a really fun guy to watch. He has a lot of temperament also because he doesn't want to get changed. He's always angry when he gets off the pitch. we have a song for him. So that's a good sign as well. I know in England you have a song for every player, I think, but it's not that much of a tradition here. So he has a song. I really would be sad if he was leaving, but I would understand, to be honest, also. It wouldn't be a surprise for me if he leaves. And what we won is what you said already. He developed in 8 months really good. So I think for our reputation, that's a good thing. So maybe with sending Minte back to Newcastle, and maybe we can get another great player from the Premier League back, because they have faith in us to get a better player back. So either way, it's a good thing.
I do actually believe there is a loan partnership or a loan agreement between the two clubs. So basically, we potentially get some young players in, we loan them out to yourselves and vice versa, which is just going to be great for both sets of teams, bringing these young players in and just developing them in some type of partnership. It's something that I believe a lot of clubs do across Europe, to be honest. But having that type of partnership with a club as good and well-known as yours to develop young talent can only help both clubs progress, whether it be up the table or winning cups or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah.
But it's something that I'd be looking forward to see what happens in future developments with future players in that regard.
Yeah. Do you have players on loan in Newcastle now from other clubs?
I don't think we've got nobody on loan at the club right now that rings a bell. We've got a few players out on loan. Again, we've got Minta, there's Grant Qual who's mentioned. Harrison Ashby, who's in Swansea, who's in the Championship, and then there may be one or two other development players in and around the lower leagues of the UK. We've got only those two that are overseas, who again mentioned just before. But it'd be nice to see how that partnership pans out in terms of player development for both clubs.
Me too. It's we always say to each other as fans, and also in the podcast, don't fall in love with a lone player, because normally he's gone in one season. We filled with Jan-Kober Minte and not falling in love with him. So
we said exactly the same thing with a player. I don't know if you're familiar with Salomon Rondon.
Yeah, I know.
We had him on loan for a season. He was absolutely phenomenal for us, and we didn't sign him. So you're absolutely right. Never fall in love with a lone player.
No.
Can only be a disaster or heartbreak waiting to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
Rob, we will leave it there. Thank you very much for jumping on this podcast.
You're welcome.
All I want to say is good luck in the KNVB Cup final this weekend against NEC. Hope you absolutely smash it. Hope Minta picks up his first bit of silverware and gets a winning mentality that we crave at Newcastle, so we can go on and win that first trophy in 60 plus years. We don't quite have the luxury that you have. So, it's been that long for us. So hopefully sooner rather than later, we do have that bit of silverware we can put in the trophy cabinet, dust off the spider webs, and showcase it to the world, because that time will come to our club at some point, and hopefully Minta can be part of it.
Conference League. If you manage to get to the Conference League, you have a big shot.
Yeah, I think that's something we've talked about. Conference League or Europa League at a push. And if you win the Europa League, you go through the Champions League. So it's a win-win for both.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But now, Rob, thank you very much for jumping on today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Me too.
We will put a link to your podcast in your socials in the description on this YouTube video. Give Rob a follow on Twitter, on X, or whatever it's called these days. And again, we'll put all the socials in there. But again, thank you very much for your insight on Jakuba Minta. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, mate. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Greg. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.